niggas linking up. Trail niggas linking up. Link up, my nigga, let's link up. Episode of the Link Up. We still ain't get it right. It's been like three episodes, still stuttering it, but we back again. It's your host, Ron the Don. And with me, as always, on the week of wrestling, Mr. All In, Allen, Xander, ladies and gentlemen.
Come on, you gotta know that. Back like I never left. You know, I ain't going nowhere. As long as this podcast still up, y'all gonna be seeing this face each and every week.
Yes, sir. We gonna keep it going. Everything good with you, though? Had a nice week?
Everything straight. Kind of recovering from a little slight injury with my elbow from training, but it ain't nothing too serious. I'm just going to compress it for tomorrow and just get back to it.
Man, this man dedicated for his dream.
Yeah, the grind don't stop.
Always. But, man, it's been an interesting week of wrestling this week. We on the road to King and Queen of the Ring in Saudi Arabia. You know, every year WWE got to get that Saudi Arabia money. So, you know, we headed for another pay-per-view again.
Until 2028, because I hear that's when their contract expires. And honestly, I know I might be going a little off topic here, but do you think that they're going to renew?
Yeah, because they just built that little whole WWE experience little center.
That's right. Damn. Man,
they're definitely going to be staying for a while.
Oh.
But, this week of wrestling was very interesting. We got clarity on a lot of things. We're going to kick it off with this past Friday on SmackDown. Started off the show with a Queen of the Ring matchup between Bianca Belair and Tiffany Stratton, you know, who was the topic of discussion this past weekend. In this match, Bianca won, but she still continued the leg injury. As we was talking on the pod last week, we both thought this was Tiffany's tournament to win. Could that have changed with the things that came up this past weekend? I don't know. What are your thoughts on the Tiffany Stratton situation? And sorry to cut you off, but before you answer that, for those who don't know, Tiffany basically posted on her IG story, a video that was, I don't know the right word, but
provocative.
We'll go with provocative. But what are your thoughts on that video, man?
Now, see, me personally, I think that, you know, the IWC, they kind of overreacted in a sense. Like, and they were trying to, I think they were doing a little too much trying to cancel her with this whole situation. Because, I mean, it's literally something that I guess she saw on social media. Yeah. So it's not like she made the video. She just posted it. You know what I mean? Now, could it have been, could she have, you know, just looked at it and just probably commented or something on it or whatever, and maybe she would have gotten less backlash from the IWC, maybe. But then again, they might have still brought that up if she would have just simply commented on it instead of just reposting it just all together. But I think, like, reposting that just kind of left a little bad taste in some people's mouths, you know what I mean? So I can't speak for everybody, but, you know, as me personally, as a Tiffany Stratton fan, I didn't really, you know, I ain't take offense to it. It just, you know, that's just what it is.
Yeah. I mean, you know, nowadays, we in the days of, like, cancel culture and everything, so I just hope this is not something that sticks with her throughout her career. I like Tiffany Stratton. I'm a big believer in Tiffy time. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, she was definitely, you know, both our pick to win this tournament, but unfortunately, she couldn't get it done. But as she continues on, I hope this is just like, you know, a minor, you know, just bump in the road. But
this is my thing. Like, she's new to the industry. So it's not like she's going to know everything off rip. Like, from my understanding, she hasn't even wrestled in the independent circuit or anything, right? She was just picked up from WWE on the tryout. Yeah, so she doesn't know much about the wrestling industry. You know what I mean? She just almost literally got there. You know what I'm saying? So she's kind of learning as she goes. So you got to kind of give it the benefit of the doubt in a sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, like, you being in the wrestling, wrestling training and wrestling school coming up, you know, how, like, do they ever talk about those things, like what, like how to carry yourself outside of the ring as well as inside the ring?
Yes. So what I'm being taught and stuff, like I've heard stories from other people backstage and how they've gotten heat off of the simplest things. You know what I mean? Like maybe a comment that you think no one really heard, but you got heard. Or, you know, just giving your opinion on something that shouldn't even be kind of something that should be like, you know, like kept to yourself in a sense, you know, like it's easier, in my opinion, from what I've seen and from experience, it's easy to get backstage heat. Very, very easy to get it. And then once you got it, to kind of get off of it, it's a little tough. But from reports that I was seeing from the Tiffany Stratton situation, she didn't have no backstage heat going into it. Like, they didn't, they just, like, you know, slept it under the rug kind of thing. Like, they just gave her a slap on the wrist or something. I mean, I don't know.
Hopefully this is a one-and-done situation and it's not something that, you know, carries on. But also in the Queen of the Ring tournament, we got the matchup, you know, very interested in seeing Nia Jax versus Jade Cargill. This match was very interesting. It was power versus power. Jade's daughter was sitting ringside, had a funny little interaction with Nia Jax. And then, you know, that kind of sent Jade over the edge in which, you know, she started wailing on Nia with a chair, got herself disqualified. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, I was hoping, I know it's too soon, I was hoping for Jade versus Bianca, but Nia Jax came out on top with the W via disqualification. So now it looks like in the semifinals, on the SmackDown side, it's going to be Nia Jax versus Bianca Belair. Winner goes to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, see, I didn't see, this is my thing. I didn't see Saudi Arabia getting that match. They not going to get that match with Bianca and Jade. I'm sorry, Saudi Arabia. Y'all just not going to get it. Like, it's just not going to happen. But that, like you said, that's a match that's going to be saved for the Big Four or, you know, for SummerSlam or for WrestleMania. Me, personally, I like to see it at WrestleMania because it would just make more sense because we've seen stories start from, like, as early as Backlash and lead all the way to WrestleMania. For instance, look at Cody. When he lost, you know, at WrestleMania 39, the Roman, that story projected all the way to this year's WrestleMania. I mean, it was a lot of side quests that he had to do, but, hey, they progressed that story from Backlash all the way to WrestleMania.
It's definitely, you know, something that's very prominent in the Paul Levesque era. You know, storytelling at its best, you know, getting that slow build, plotting the seeds in there. And, you know, it's like that with a lot of people. You know, on the men's side of the bracket, we saw Tama Tonga versus LA Knight, in which Tama Tonga beat LA Knight to advance to the semifinals. Which is very interesting because later on that night, Randy Orton beat Carmelo Hayes to also advance to the semifinals. So on SmackDown this upcoming week, we'll be getting Randy Orton versus Tama Tonga in the semifinals.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of bounces off of like what you were talking about already with like the long-term storytelling and stuff. Randy Orton he's had smoke with the Bloodline since like years ago. He's wanted smoke with the Bloodline. So to see this story still go on, because he said he ain't stopping until he gets his hands on every member of the Bloodline, with the exception of Jay, because he gave Jay a pass. He gave him a pass. But everybody else, they getting that smoke. So I'm pretty sure that's going to include, when he comes back, Roman Reigns too. You never know.
You know who I hope it includes? Like, now that you say that, it just clicked in my head. A Randy Orton versus The Rock match would be kind of fire now.
You know what? That is crazy. But, like, where do you do a match like that? You can't do WrestleMania because, I mean, I'm hearing rumors saying that they might be doing Cody Rhodes versus The Rock at Mania now.
Nah, we don't want that. We want The Rock versus Roman, respectfully. But,
yeah. That's just my Which opinion. I wouldn't be mad at Cody versus The Rock. Yeah. But do you have Cody carry that championship all the way to this year's WrestleMania?
I don't know. I think so, but
you like, can.
That's the way it's looking. Now what you could do, Cody versus Roman versus Rock, because that could be layers on layers on layers.
Yeah. But do you put the People's Championship on the line?
Nah, I don't know. I don't know if Mrs. Ali would be going for that. She made that title specifically for The Rock.
Well, hey, shoot. They shouldn't have planted that seed with the belt switch.
Hey, that belt fire though. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah.
That and the new WWE Tag Team Championships. Oh, that Theory and Waller got.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me of how the old ones used to look. The old SmackDown ones.
Yeah.
Woo!
They nice. Speaking of that, it looks like they got some future contenders in DIY coming their way. That's going to be a good little, if it is a rivalry, going to be a good little rivalry set to come.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, DIY, but I don't see Austin Theory and Grayson Waller losing their straps anytime soon. Like, the type of run that they've had, like, it's been very subtle, but it's been a decent run. Like, they've had a decent run. Like, I got to give them the respect. I mean, this is Grayson Waller's first championship in WWE, if I'm not mistaken. And, like, what, Austin Theory's, what, second? Yeah. Second championship? Yeah, so, hey, these boys just getting started, man.
I hope so. I hope, like, the tag team division is elevated, you know, with these new tag titles on both shows.
Yeah.
Also, in that night, we got the Cody Rhodes versus Logan Paul contract signing. Now, last week, we were very unclear of the stipulations. Was it going to be for just the Undisputed Heavyweight Championship, or was it going to be for both the Undisputed Heavyweight Championship and the United States Championship? Well, Logan Paul said he did not agree to put that United States Championship on the line. So it's looking like it's just going to be for the Undisputed Championship. How you feel about that, man?
Mm-mm. I kind of already knew something like that was going to happen, because at the end of the day, it's Logan Paul, and you know he's been a good heel. So I seen it from a mile away that he was going to pull something. He was going to pull something in that, like, around in that aspect of, like, switching the contracts up or getting a lawyer involved to, like, you know, make a new contract and say, oh, it's only for the WWE Championship and not for the U.S. title. And also, the way that Cody Rhodes literally just disrespected the title is just like, he threw his U.S. title back. And he was like, I don't want this. I want my belt. I don't want this belt.
He holding the most prestigious title in the business right now. So, you know, hopefully he can keep that run going after this weekend. But, you know, what else I forgot to mention, you know, it looked like, you know, they building up something with LA Knight and Carmelo Hayes. I think that's going to be a fire rivalry for weeks to come. And then, I don't know if you've seen it, but before the contract signing, LA Knight also ran into Logan Paul. So we might get that match down the line. Maybe SummerSlam. Who knows?
I can see that being SummerSlam. I don't think you can hold that all the way up to WrestleMania. If they do, I'd like to see how they do it. But I can see that match going to SummerSlam. Now, Carmelo and LA Knight, them boys is already both good on the mic. You know what I mean? The promo battles between them two is going to be crazy. You already know that. And then, like, they're both of their in-ring ability, too. That is going to be – people are going to be looking at that rivalry as, like, very, like, underrated for the time. But I wouldn't think that, though. I wouldn't sleep on that rivalry at all.
Most definitely. All right. So that was SmackDown. Moving on to Raw, we had a few interesting things going on. We're going to start with Chad Gable and his beloved Alpha Academy. Every week, it just seems to get worse and worse for Otis, Maxine, and Tozawa. During a match with Sammy, he tried to get Maxine and Tozawa to interfere for him. They wouldn't. But when it came to Otis, he didn't at first. But then ultimately, he interfered after Chad Gable slapped him in the face and helped Chad Gable beat and pin the Intercontinental Champion, Sami Zayn. Where do you see Chad Gable, the Intercontinental Championship, and the Alpha Academy going from here, heading into this weekend?
Honestly, I could see one of them turning this weekend on Chad Gable, because they're just sick of him at this point. Like, they're just tired of being pushed around. I'm pretty sure Otis is tired of being slapped. Come on now. Like, a man can only take so much at the end of the day. Like, if we're using real life logic here.
Yeah.
Like, there's only so many times you can slap somebody before they'd be like, all right, that's it. So I could see either him or Akira Tozawa pretty much turning this week, like maybe this weekend. If they're there. But if they're not there, I could see them turning on them probably on Raw or something.
All I'm going to say is, we alluded to it earlier, that man Triple H, he planting them seeds. What you said last week, he doing that? That boy planting them seeds. I don't know if you saw, but basically Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark became number one contenders in a Fatal 4-Way number one contenders match, tag team match for the Women's Tag Team Championships. And in that match was Maxine and her partner Ivy Nile, who when they lost looked real disappointed. And not soon after that, we saw Chad Gable talking to the Creed brothers backstage. You know, we could be getting a Team Gable. I see them seeds being planted. I don't know, that maybe I'm just over speculating. I don't know, but
I honestly, Triple H ain't gonna show nothing. They're not gonna show anything right now if it's not gonna make sense. I mean, just look at the little things that they've been throwing in there with the Dominic and Liv Morgan situation, the little backstage stuff. This week they had Liv Morgan and Finn Balor getting out the same car. Little stuff like that. See, Triple H, he's not missing any details right now. So the Creed brothers and Chad Gable, they're gonna align at some point. I mean, it's only right, because I mean look at the Creed brothers. Yeah. Them boys in ring, they good. Now see, all they really need for real is somebody that can carry them on the mic, which I think Chad Gable, he's established enough to carry them on the mic in some way, shape, or form. So having them, if they all become a stable, yeah, that'll work.
That's a perfect match.
That'll work, because it gives them time to improve on their mic skills, and they can maybe pick up some stuff from them or whatever, pick up some stuff that they need to, pick up on. Excuse me. Oh, you're stuttering. See, not the only one doing it, bro.
Yeah. All right. So, also, like you alluded to, you know, we saw Liv Morgan getting out the car with Finn Balor, and to the normal eye, you wouldn't have caught this, but, you know, leave it up to the IWC investigators. You know, they zoomed in. You would have saw it as Jey Uso was entering the building as they were showing on Monday Night Raw, if he was paying close attention. Could this be leading, you know, we know that Liv Morgan is on her revenge tour. Could this be leading to Liv Morgan forming her own faction within the Judgment Day, seeing that she's been recruiting Finn and Dominic Mysterio?
Yeah, I can really see, because she told Rhea Ripley that she want to take everything away from her. And I don't think she just meant the title. I think she meant everything, because everybody already says that Rhea was the leader of the Judgment Day, which I always thought it was Damian Priest, because, I mean, he's like the second seasoned person in the group. Like, he's been there longer, so I always thought it was Damian.
Yeah.
But everybody says it's Rhea. Liv Morgan might want to take the group away from Rhea. You know what I mean? So, and if she do that, she might feel like she getting into her head. And if she can get into her head, she got that championship and she got the top spot.
Well, Liv's been doing a lot of things lately, including slapping around Lyra Valkyria, who put on a banger. I'm talking about, if you haven't seen this match, you got to go back and watch it. I knew it was going to be a banger, but it absolutely delivered between Lyra Valkyria and Io Shirai. Definitely match of the night. Lyra Valkyria came out on top, cemented her place in the Queen of the Ring finals in Saudi Arabia. What is your thoughts on Lyra Valkyria's rise and ascension as of late?
See, this goes back to what I was saying last week about how Triple H wants to give these NXT superstars that platform to, you know what I mean, to kind of shine a little bit. So I'm pretty sure they're using this King and Queen of the Ring tournament as a way to showcase the NXT talent. And what better way to do that than putting one of them in the finals?
Yeah.
To really show them, you know, what they can do. And to show people if you come here and you do this type of work, you put that work in and stuff, maybe you can, you know, elevate like this too. You know what I mean? So it opens up a lot of doors, believe it or not. It's showing a lot of people in NXT that if you want to be in that spot, put that work in. But she been putting that work in, like you were saying. Like, people really sleep on NXT. I don't really get to watch a lot of NXT because I train around that time that it's on live. So, but from what I'm hearing, they got a lot of people coming up on NXT, and she is one person that came up from NXT and going to Raw, and she doing her thing.
Definitely. I definitely think her and Ilya Dragunov have been making an impact on WWE TV as of late. I mean, if you just look at the current roster, there's so many, like, people from Triple H's NXT that's, like, flooded over the roster, and it's, like, very, like, big stars, like Gunther, Chad Gable, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, like, all these people are, like, major names in WWE right now. NXT definitely is the breeding ground for, like, the future stars. Speaking of a future star in NXT, this man Bron Breakker is out of control, bro.
Oh, man.
Like, first, he destroyed his opponent in the ring and then outside of the ring. He mad that he wasn't put in the King of the Ring tournament, which I agree he should have been in there. And then Ilya Dragunov was being interviewed, gets interrupted by Ricochet, who says they have unfinished business. And then Bron Breakker comes out of nowhere and spears him. So it looks like we might be getting a program between Bron Breakker and Ricochet. What are your thoughts on that?
Now, see, I'm going to backtrack a little bit and talk about them spears, man. Now, see, look. That man, Bron Breakker, bro. See, everybody over here thinking that he mad because he wasn't in the King of the Ring tournament. But them spears is telling me otherwise. Them spears, bro, he was thinking about Cora Jade doing them spears. There ain't no way, bro. That man was thinking about Cora Jade all day with them spears, bro. You seen the impact on them things, bro? Buddy looked mad, dog. I'm just like... Man, but nah. When it comes down to that, though, I think that's going to be a good little program that they do. Because Ricochet, he's quick. Fast on his feet, you know what I mean? He's doing all these flips. And that's just going to correlate with, you know, some good spear spots by Bron Breakker, some good power moves from Bron Breakker. Little power counters here and there. You slap some of that around, man, oh, man, that's going to be something right there.
It's definitely interesting to see where, like, you know, they go from here. And also Ilya Dragunov, because now that Ricochet is taken from him, I wonder who's next up. For Ilya, do you have anybody in mind that you would like to see him feud with? Obviously, we know Gunther, but, you know, anybody else?
Gunther got to get saved. That's got to be saved for Mania. Or SummerSlam. You can probably spread that in at SummerSlam, but right now? Ooh, that's tough. You can... Let's see. I wouldn't necessarily say you can take... You don't have to take him away from Ricochet. You could just do a whole triple threat angle with them too. With Ricochet, Ilya Dragunov, and Bron Breakker. You can do a triple threat, like rivalry with all three of them. And then it will make sense because of that interview thing he was talking about. So they got more ways that they can, like, you know, that they could swing this, you know, so. But if it's not Ricochet, who would I? That's a tough one, man. Who would you pick? That is tough. I can't really see. I don't want, like, you know, because his track record's too clean to have a bad match with anybody. Like, yeah. It would have to be somebody that would really have to make sense. So who would you pick?
See, like, there's three options for me. One is, like, in a perfect world, like, what I would personally want to see, him versus Sheamus. I feel like you would get great matches out of those. One that I... Like the runner
about to say that. See that was my answer. See, that's why I need to start going with my first gut. Because I was gonna also say too, you could have him go through Kaiser to kind of like get to Gunther, you know what I mean? To kind of so they can start that program a little early, but not getting to like to Gunther at first, but to get through him.
And then like my third one, like realistically, because I think about it, like Dragunov, his whole thing is, like, he's never going to quit. He's going to always take punishment. And the more he take punishment, it's going to make him better. So, like, the realistic option, like, once he's done with this whole Intercontinental Championship thing, is Bronson Reed, maybe. Like, that's what I...
That's a good one right there.
Yeah.
But do you give him a win? Do you give Dragunov a win?
Over Bronson Reed?
Yes.
Unfortunately, yes. I'm a Bronson Reed guy. Like, he gives me off, like, I'm not saying they anything alike, but like Samoa Joe vibes, like I get from him to a certain degree.
So yeah, I can see that. I get more so like you said, Samoa Joe, and kind of like Keith Lee a little bit.
Yeah,
as far as like how he moves.
Right. So like to be honest, out of everybody in the Intercontinental Championship triple threat match, like I wouldn't even mind if like Bronson Reed won, because that's how much I like him. Like he's very entertaining, like in the ring. So
yeah.
But we shall see what's next for Dragon. You know, whatever it is, I'm pretty sure it's gonna be good. But that leads us to our main event. Main event: Jey Uso versus Gunther in the semifinals of the King of the Ring tournament. And this one did not go the way that we hoped. If you a fan of Jey Uso, I'm sorry to tell you, man got choked out. You know, Gunther just choked the life out of him. And that was it. Gunther moving on to Saudi Arabia. Most likely, we're going to get to our predictions in a bit, but most likely, you know, going to become King of the Ring. Your thoughts on this main event match?
That one hurt. As a lot of guys say, it hurt. Jey Uso not going to the finals. This goes back to what I've been saying since the start of this podcast. When will they pull the trigger? At this point, even King of the Ring would have been good for Jey Uso. But honestly, if they're not going to... But see, I still got hope. Just like when Cody lost at 39, I still got hope. So where we go from here with Jey Uso, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Money in the bank. Give him money in the bank. Just give him the contract. Just go home. Just give him the contract already, bro.
That would be crazy.
That's like... That honestly... Because a lot of people are going to start... They're going to eventually start to like lose hope. Let's just be real.
Yeah.
So the way how you can fix this, money in the bank. And if it's not Jey Uso, got to be LA Knight.
If it's not Jey Uso or LA Knight, got to be Dominic Mysterio.
Yeah, next topic. Because you over here tripping now, bro.
I want to say two things about the whole Jey Uso thing. I don't want him to win Money in the Bank for this reason. Every time my guy get in a championship match, somebody from his family just got to screw it up. And that's in order to get the briefcase off of him, that's what I just feel like what happened. Like, as soon as he get the opportunity, somebody going to return and just screw it all up.
Or what can also happen is during the Money in the Bank match, he's about to grab it. One of his favorites come out and attack him, bro.
Yeah. I didn't think about it. Solo could be Money in the Bank.
You think Solo can win the Money in the Bank match and cash in on somebody?
Bro, I ain't gonna lie. I'm not trying to get into my my fantasy booking right now. But, you know, forget it. I'm gonna do it. Bro, imagine Solo winning the Money in the Bank, go to cash it in, that Roman Reigns music hit, or the Rock music hit. You know how fire that'll be? Like,
nah. But see, what'd be even crazier is if the Rock's music hit, right? And then Solo has to give the Rock the contract.
His briefcase.
And the Rock cashes in and beats Cody Rhodes. That'd just be so crazy. That'd be some crazy shit, right? I'd be like, bro. Really?
So many people would be mad.
But all right, so I'm at a point where I'm more of like, I'm kind of at the point of wrestling right now where I'm like, you gotta wait and see. Because like I said before, in many podcasts we've done, I've literally only, like, once Cody got that strap, I'm cool. I'm chilling. So honestly, whatever y'all do from here, if it makes sense, I mean, I might be shocked in the moment, but I'm like, all right, wait, let's just go from here. What we doing next? You know what I mean?
No, I agree. But I don't know. As far as what's next for Jey Uso, I think he got a whole group coming his way that's after him. You know, we seen him alluding to it.
Mm-hmm.
Howdy.
Yeah, wait. Yeah, because what's crazy is about that, I was the one that was telling you that. I don't know if it was on or off the pod, but I remember telling you about that, saying that that's probably going to be the first person that they go after. It makes sense, though, because of the whole Firefly thing. It makes sense to go after Jey Uso first.
And I don't know if you've seen it, but, like, now they're starting to address the QR code on TV. And so, like, they showed basically the video of, like, a therapist talking to somebody. To me, that's it. Like, if you remember Alexa Bliss, like, she had a therapist when she had the Lily doll. So I think she's going to be, like, the first person to emerge out, like, for the group. Like, her and Nikki Cross, maybe.
Then they're going to have a tag team within that group with Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss?
I mean,
I'm not saying no to it, but I mean,
the group was rumored to be, I'm just going off the rumors at this point. Yeah. Like the group was rumored to be, like, it's supposed to be six. So you got Uncle Howdy, Rowan, I heard Joe Gacy, Alexa Bliss, Nikki Cross, that's five. And, like, I'm confused because the sixth person was supposed to be Braun Strowman, but it don't look like he, like, close to being, like, you know, possessed or anything.
A name that I've heard in that mix, Dexter Lumis.
I heard that, too.
I heard that name in the mix. And it kind of makes sense because where has he been lately?
Yeah, I mean, I ain't gonna lie. I thought he was released. I'm not gonna lie. He's still on. I know he just ain't been on TV in a while.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but that'd be interesting. His character fits. I thought it was going to be Sean Spears, too.
It could be him. I mean, it would. I wouldn't say no to it. Like I said, I wouldn't say no to nothing like that at this point. Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure they're going to do the right thing. But they literally don't have, they have, like, one shot with this, though. If you ask me, like, you got to get it right. Because this is the legacy we're talking about here.
That's why Jey Uso don't make sense, though, to me. Because it's like, either Jey Uso take another loss, or, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, then again, you're right.
So it got to be against somebody who can afford to take a loss.
Yeah.
But, you know, the King and Queen of the Ring event is live this Saturday, 1 p.m. if you on East Coast time. And we're going to get into our predictions. Let me pull up the match card here. It's not a heavy card. So,
which I'm surprised, which it kind of shows me, like, the direction that they're going, quality over quantity, which is not bad. Not at all.
All right. So we're going to start. So right now, all we know that is Lyra Valkyria versus whoever wins this upcoming SmackDown between Nia Jax and Bianca Belair. So, in your mind, of those three, who takes the crown this weekend?
I'm pretty sure this match is going to go as one of those, like, I think this match is going to go babyface versus babyface, so I got Bianca Belair taking this whole thing. It's just going to be another accomplishment on her already long resume. But it also is going to give Laura Valkyria the time to, you know, her little time in the match to get her shine in and stuff. And, you know, to show Saudi Arabia and the whole world, like, what she can do.
That's interesting. I'm just going to say it now. You know, we recording this, so these predictions is not like how we predicted before. These your prediction is gonna be locked in.
I know it's locked in. I got Bianca, bro. That's locked in.
We got video proof. See, I'm gonna go with it's gonna be Queen Nia Jax. That's who I'm going with. I think because Bianca got the leg injury, like Nia, she been booked pretty strong. She just hasn't won anything, and I feel like Lyra Valkyria just doesn't make sense right now. Like, if it was Tiffany Stratton, it makes sense because, like, she has a, you know what I'm saying? But I think it's going to be Nia. I can see, like, a queen, Nia, like, her acting all arrogant and all of that stuff. Like, I could see that. So that's my prediction.
And wait, so doesn't the winner get a championship opportunity too?
I believe so.
Yeah, so, right. Yes. I guess.
Yeah. All right, so the next match is the King of the Ring finals match. So, Gunther already advanced, as we said before. And then the winner on SmackDown between Randy Orton and Tama Tonga will go on to face Gunther in the finals. Who do you got winning this tournament? You should already know who I got.
So, winning the qualifying match, I got Randy Orton. Winning the tournament, 1, 2, 3. Gunther.
Gunther.
it's not debate.
Yeah, nah.
Once you took out Jey Uso, you already know who's gonna win at this point. Like, it's no way around it. And I'm pretty sure at some point he's gonna either go after the IC championship to get his IC title back, or go for the world championship.
If he get the Intercontinental Championship back, that'll be crazy.
Yeah, like I said, I could really see him doing that though, because just the way he made that title, that's like. The IC title is like how Roman made the Universe title to him. I'm going to just say it like that.
No, I can see that. I can agree. I just like, for me personally, I would like to see him go in a different direction. Because like, once he take that title back, you know, I feel like the Chad Gable thing is pointless. Because he'll just be continue chasing that title.
You know what? You're right.
Because you know, I say this. I just thought of this. You know what? I don't know if you remember, but you remember when like, Big E had the Intercontinental Championship, and then, like, he was battling Apollo Crews. That's what this reminded me of between Sami Zayn and, like, Chad Gable for some reason. Like,
yeah, I know what you mean.
How they was, like, going back and forth with the title.
Yeah.
But, nah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Gunther switched over to SmackDown to challenge Cody. That'd be interesting. I don't think it would happen, though. But
yeah, logically, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. But we shall see. If you would have told me we would be getting Gunther versus Randy Orton in 2024, I wouldn't have believed it. I can't see those two facing off, but I know it's going to be a good match.
Yeah, I mean, it would just make more sense because, I mean, you don't want to put Tama Tonga against Gunther because, I mean, like, heel versus heel, you know. They don't usually do that, you know what I mean? I mean, like, well, they don't try to do that, but... Yeah. And plus, I mean, Randy Orton is, like, the fan favorite. Still, at his age, he's the fan favorite. So, you already know that they're going to do something like that. I mean, if Jey Uso can't go to the finals, hey, it's going to be Randy Orton.
I get it. Like I said last week on the pod, I thought it was going to be LA Knight, like, advancing to the finals.
Yeah.
They fooled me. That's one thing I do like about wrestling nowadays. Like, before, it was very predictable, but now it's like, you think you know, but you're not always right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, we're going to get into the next match here. The Intercontinental Championship match. It's a triple threat between champion Sami Zayn, Chad Gable, and Bronson Reed.
I'm going to go with Sami Zayn. I'm just going to go with Sami Zayn right here. I'm going to just say the main reason why is because I honestly think that one of the people from Alpha Academy is going to cost Chad Gable the match when he's about to win. They're going to cost him the match because I'm pretty sure he's gonna try to make them do something, and they're not going to want to do it. He's going to slap them, and then you're going to be like, you know what? Forget this. And just start wailing on him.
That's probably going to be Otis. Yeah, I agree. I think Sami comes out of this match still champion because I think it's more to do with them, like long term, you know, setting up Chad, like with his group.
You know what I just thought about too?
What's up?
I mean, I don't know if you do this like right away, but you could have him be the first victim of the Wyatt Six.
Who, Sami?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I feel like that'll be better, like,
yeah.
Instead of like, cause like Jay, you want to keep him as a main event guy. Like Sami, he's still a main event guy, but like I feel like he hasn't taken that many losses as much as Jay has, like since Mania. So
big losses. Let's say big losses. Yeah. Jay took a lot of big losses.
Right, and then if
he had a lot of championship. I mean, he lost to Seth Rollins. He lost to Gunther. He lost to Roman Reigns.
Damian Priest.
And he lost to Damian Priest. He's like 0-4, 0-5 in world championship matches. Like, championship matches. Singles championship matches. And I think he lost to Austin Theory, too, back in, like, what, last year? So he's like, what, 0-5, 0-6?
Yeah, my boy out here struggling.
They just can't get, like, just give us one championship. Even if it's the IC, hell, give him the speed championship. Give him a singles title already. Like, come on, man.
They just might. But, yeah, we both got Sammy taking that one. Next is a very interesting one. Because I got a theory on this one, but I'm going to let you go first. The women's World Championship match between Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan.
See. All right, so I'm going to just say a name, and I'm not going to go into, like, why. I'm going to let you go ahead and explain your side, and then I might have to go off, like, what you say. Like, it's neck and neck with me right now. Like, but I will say, 49% is saying Becky Lynch, then 51% Liv Morgan. So I got to go Liv Morgan.
All right. I'm going Liv Morgan, and I'm going to tell you how I think it's going to get done. Somehow, some way, Dominic Mysterio is going to find his way in Saudi Arabia interfere in this match. And it's going to be funny because Damian Priest is going to be looking at him like, Dom, what are you doing? He's going to be like, trust me, this is what mommy wanted. And like the whole time, like they conspiring Damian Priest and Rhea. Like that's what I think, man. That's how I think it's going to happen. I could be wrong, but I just feel like you do this now, then Becky can spend the summer trying to get the title back. Because I don't know, for me, if Liv loses clean, like it's over. Like, you know.
I wouldn't say it's over, but it's going to derail some of that momentum a little bit.
Yeah, but I feel like the story would be so much better if she does get that chip and then Rhea comes back and takes it from her. Like, the story would be so much better. But so that's why I'm going with.
Because all it's going to do is make Rhea super over than what she already is right now. Yeah. She organically turned babyface without even knowing it, like, the way it's been.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I'm saying as far as Liv, like, if she loses, because not only, like, when Rhea comes back, she going to be super over, but now, like, you make Liv to, like, this established heel that nobody likes. If she just loses to Becky, like, clean, it's kind of like Liv always losing, like, all the time. So, like, this way you can create two stars. Becky always already a star. So, like, this way you can make two stars.
Right. Well, see, that's just Becky Lynch is at a point in her career where she doesn't really need a championship to, like, you know, solidify herself in no sense.
Right.
I mean, this is the same woman that won both belts at WrestleMania 35. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. And the main event of WrestleMania. So, I mean,
already a Hall of Famer.
Right.
Yeah. And I, like, me personally, I'm just going to say it. I feel like if the match does go down that way, they should main event. No disrespect to Cody and Logan Paul, but I just feel like we about to get into why I don't think that match should main event because of what I think the result is going to be. But who would you pick to win that WWE Undisputed Championship match between Cody and Logan Paul?
Cody Rhodes, man. I'm just go ahead and say it. Cody Rhodes, bro. I really don't. Like, do I really have to explain my case?
Nah.
Because, I mean, if we're thinking about it, like I said before, like last podcast, they're putting Logan Paul in that position because he's a big name. You know, they need a big name for Saudi Arabia. So what bigger name than Logan Paul?
Trying to take that.
Put him in the match.
For what?
Yeah. Give him that match. I mean, he deserved it. He deserves to be in a WWE Championship match again. I mean, the last time he had one was against Roman Reigns. And it was in Saudi Arabia too, huh?
Yeah.
So he had two main championship matches in Saudi Arabia. So, I mean, but the result going to be the same. No, let's just keep it a buck because I don't see Cody Rhodes losing that championship to Logan Paul. Now, if they do that, remember how I was saying that I'd be just, you know, sleeping under the rug? I'd probably turn my TV off if I see something like that, bro. I ain't even gonna lie.
For real.
I'd just be like, bro, Logan Paul, You had this man beat Roman Reigns, the most overpowered wrestler right now in all time today. Like, you gonna have him beat him. But when it comes to Logan Paul, he gets spanked. Come on. Come on.
I definitely feel you on that one. I'm going with Cody too. It's just, I just don't like this match because, like if Logan does lose, but I think, me personally, I think somehow, some way it might be disqualification or some way to, like, protect Logan when he does lose. But I just feel like if he lose clean, he just come out looking, like, weaker as a champion.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's going to be some interferences here and there.
Yeah.
From his little posse, you know what I mean? From Logan Paul's little posse.
Speed. KSI.
And his other dudes he be with on his podcast and stuff, they be interfering and stuff, you know what I mean?
Definitely. But I got some news that I wanted to say. Some very interesting news that you might like to hear.
Alright.
Sexy Red, man. It looks like Sexy Red is coming to WWE TV, as she is scheduled to be on WWE NXT next week.
Oh my God.
Is this what you had on your 2024 WWE bingo card, man?
I did not, man. I did not have this on my card. Honestly, if you asked me, like, a celebrity rapper to be on NXT or whatever, I would have said Ice Spice. You know what I mean? That's just keeping it
buff. Fire.
But I kind of understand why they're doing it because, I mean, at the end of the day, it was rumored that Sexy Red had interests, like, in NXT. It was even an article I read that she was trying to join the WWE, you know what I mean, actually wrestle a match. I mean, hey, this is probably the closest that we get to it. That's going to be surprising to see. That's one of them things where I got to see it to believe it, though. Like, I got to see it to believe it because... Hey.
I'm definitely going to be tuned in, man. You know what I'm hoping to happen? Like, because they got, like, the whole Trick Williams and Lash Legend thing going on. Like, Trick Williams, Noam Dar metaphor. It would be funny if, like, Sexy Red come in there and take his side.
I'm pretty sure. But see, yeah, I guess you can kind of have her as, like, the babyface celebrity. I mean, you probably could do something like that. Like, you can literally get away with both, like, with both scenarios. If you introduce her as a heel or a babyface celebrity, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can get away with both.
Nah, like...
But I do see her, like, punching somebody, though, before
the night. Yeah, most definitely. She definitely gonna hit somebody. Slap somebody or something.
It may not look like the best strike, but she gonna hit somebody, bro.
Yeah.
If it's a slap or something, it's gonna be something.
That'd be crazy. I mean, shoot, at this point, Lil Device twerk on NXT every week. So, I mean, Sexy Red can do the same thing, I guess.
Man, but see, that's nothing that kind of confused me, too, because I was watching clips of NXT, and I didn't know Shayna Baszler was in a program with Lil Device. So she had two tag partners for a little minute?
Yeah, like in NXT, Natalya is training Carmen, and then Shayna was training Lil Device, so it was like a student and teacher versus student and teacher.
Okay.
But then they had like Carmen and Natalya had beat them, and so like Lil Device was like, she don't need Shayna, so now they about to be fighting at NXT Battleground.
Oh, trust me, I've seen that whole segment, bro. That whole segment.
I'm sure you did. All right, man. I'm gonna throw a little curveball your way, man. You know, every week on the pod, we do our segment called Top 5. But this week is going to be a little different. See, I know. I heard about you, bruh. They said you a big CFOS fan out here. So this week, Top 5, we're going to be giving our Top 5 WWE current theme songs. So the current WWE theme songs, you've been giving your Top 5.
Top 5, no debating. Top 5, Top 5, Top 5.
Okay. All right. So at number 5, you gotta go Grayson Waller's theme song.
I respect
that song. Pretty valid. I give him that. That song valid. Number 4 is gonna be, I guess for number 4, I gotta go with CM Punk. That's a classic cult personality. I mean, I'm not a fan of the remake. I'm gonna just keep it a buck. I'm not a fan of the remake, but the original, I mean, classic all day. But I'm pretty sure they switched it up because he used the original in AEW, so they had to kind of switch it up for his return.
You think so?
I'm pretty sure that's the reason why that they did that.
Because I was going to say, like, Jade and Cody, and like, they got the same theme songs.
I mean, no, Jade Cargill kind of got a spinoff a little bit. It's like a remix, kind of. It just sounds the same, but it's a little...
That don't sound the same to me.
It's a little remix.
Hey, you know I don't watch AEW.
And, all right, at number three, going on Cody Rhodes. I got to go Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
Number three. Number two, got to be Jey Uso. It's just me, Oos. All right, and number one, even though he's not active right now, I got to go Jimmy Uso's theme song.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Hey, I do like the way his theme song start off, though. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
That's I ain't gonna lie, this is actually tough. As much as they get trashed on like their current theme songs, like this is actually tough.
Yeah, but, I mean, like I said, Def Rebel, they have some valid songs. Let's not get it twisted. They have some valid theme songs, you know what I mean? But just overall, for the wrestlers that aren't really known like that, the theme songs, in my opinion, are kind of like it's like it's missing something, you know?
Yeah.
It don't make sense. It kind of makes sense what I'm saying, but it's missing something, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But it's kind of hard, I ain't gonna lie, cuz it's a couple of them I like. But I'm gonna start with my top 5.
About to say your segment, not mine.
I'm gonna go with the Kabuki Warriors, man. They theme song fire. They theme song hard. Number 4, The Judgment Day, gotta love Alter Bridge. Like, that's like one of my favorite theme songs. There's so many. Number 3, I'm gonna go with Roman Reigns. No, wait, yeah, I'm gonna go with Roman Reigns. I'm gonna go
gotta
with Roman
stick, Reigns. Gotta stick with it. What you about to say is going that
it's gonna be number two.
Number two. All right, go ahead.
No, I'm gonna say that for honorable mention. I ain't gonna lie. I'm
sorry right.
for honorable mention. Number two, I'm putting main event Jey Uso on there.
Okay,
it get me hype.
That one of ours lined up. Okay.
And then number one gotta be Cody. That's number one.
Now see, I'm gonna let you say your honorable mention. I'm gonna say my honorable mention. Go ahead.
All right, I ain't gonna lie. I got like three, no four, like Rhea's theme song, DIY. Randy Orton is a classic, bruh.
Yeah,
and then the final boss, the remix.
Yeah,
that was tough.
So, yeah, my honorable mention for this week, Io Sky.
Yeah.
That song, a banger.
Not the Damage Control one, that jump track.
No. Def Rebel cooked with that one, I'll say that. They cooked with that one.
Yeah. LA Knight and Austin Theory, too. They got, not the remix.
Austin Theory's new one? I was about to say.
Not the remix.
That
jump.
Trash.
Santos Escobar, I like his, too.
Yeah, bro. Like, when I heard that, man, I was like, why'd they do this?
They always messing up a good song.
And that's another reason why people don't like Def Rebel. They always be switching stuff when they ain't supposed to be switched. Stop changing it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
All right, man. Before we get out of here, anything you got coming up? Anything you wanna shout out?
June 1st, you know, we got a Wildcat show. Get your tickets at wildcat.eventbrite.com. You know, we just had another card. We got another match announced for that card. Edge Stone versus Nate Bradley. And we also got another match between Tyree Taylor. That's somebody you really got to look at. You know what I mean? That dude, Tyree Taylor, do your homework on him. He'll be going against Jace Valor for the Wildcat Revolution Championship. So if you want to see all these matches and more, get your buying on wildcat.eventbrite.com and get your ticket for June 1st.
Definitely go get that.
And shout out, you know, Wildcat Sports. Shout out, you know, my coaches, Danny Flamingo, Chuck Devine, PJ Hawks. You know what I mean? Got to shout them boys out.
That boy, he bleeding Wildcat in his vein.
Something like that, right? You know, something like that.
But as always, I've been your boy, your host, Mr. Headphones tonight, Ron the Don. And always my co-host every week. I'm going to let him outro himself. He does it better.
You talking about the outro that everybody want to see, right? Because everybody know when they come to this podcast, you know you're going to see the person, Mr. Him, Mr. Golden Ticket, Mr. All-in-One from the 6-3-1, Alexander.
Ladies and gentlemen.